Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 describes the Son of Man who came from heaven, received worship from all nations, and rules a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Jesus uses this title to affirm that he is fully human and fully divine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Just like the Pointer Sisters, I'm so excited. This is Wretched Radio. I've been working on a book. Friel, you've been working on that for forever. I agree. And you know what has tripped it up time and time again? The title of the book. I don't know if you've ever been involved in the naming of anything besides your children. Well, no, that's even to my point. Was it a piece of cake for you and your spouse to pick your kids' names and assign them a name? How dare you assign your child a name? There was all kinds of back and forth. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? The same thing is true with a business, automobiles, medicine. Wow, are they getting ridiculous? Have you seen the pronunciations of the medicines that they're advertising on TV these days? And what about the naming of a book? You take a beating. It is one of the most hotly contested portions of the editing process in book writing, naming the book. And I'm so excited because the title I had, well, apparently some people thought it was a stinker. I was working with Hardwired Faith that Christianity is not an app. It's an operating system. And James, who's going to be doing the editing, came up with a title that is so killer. Lord Over All. Oh, it has been so good. So I've been able to take that and it's just making the, now I'm in the editing process and it's just zing. It's all just coming together so well. And I'm so excited because I think so many of us would benefit from recognizing there isn't a molecule that does not have the Lord's fingerprints on it. Not a molecule, kind of a plagiarism from Abraham Kuyper, that God is in control. Everything is here for his purpose, for his design, for his reason. Colossians, 1 Corinthians 1:23. No, Colossians 1:2. It's in Colossians chapter 2:16, maybe, that Jesus Christ, he's preeminent over all things, that all things were made by him, for him, through him, to him. This all exists with intentionality. And that is where I think there has been a disconnect for too many of us. We have to figure out how to bring our Christian faith into every area of life. And my premise is that's backwards. Every area of life is Christ. We just need to recognize it and walk in light of it. Look forward to sharing the results of Lord Overall with you in about 18 months. In the meantime, why don't you write us, idea@wretched.org. Did I have the verse even close to it?
It was Colossians 1:15, 16.
Knew there was a 16 in there someplace.
It's so close to Colossians.
Right, read the verse because it's a beauty.
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him.
So look around. It says one word, Christ. Government, Christ. You're going bonkers over the debate, which we'll discuss next week. Christ. Now you hate electronic cars. Christ. He's in control of all of this. I'm not saying that he's wanting us to manufacture those cars. Now, what I'm saying is everything we see, created by him, owned by him, ruled by him, because he's Lord over all. Can't wait to share it. Sorry, I know that maybe you're going, what are you so excited about, dude? I'm just burning through the edits now, and that makes me very excited, like a Pointer Sister, only completely different. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Emily. Todd, my husband and I have a son who is 2 years old. I'm almost 35, and we're feeling unsure about having any more children. partially due to my age, but also because of simply not wanting anymore. Mm. We also feel conflicted about not giving our son a sibling.
Sure.
I know it may be a silly question, but do you believe there are biblical reasons to try and have more than one child?
Like, do you have to have more than one child?
Right.
I do not believe that there is a mandate on a quota for having children. What we see is that the Bible endorses children, that having a full quiver, please note, in the context of the psalm, it happens to be about one gender only, boys. Nevertheless, our principle is that, having children is a blessing. We see having grandchildren is even a greater blessing, not because they're more precious than your kids, but because look at what the Lord has done generationally. So the psalmist expresses like the best a man can ultimately arrive at is sitting at a table, having a meal, and looking out and seeing, my wife is content, and there's my children and grandchildren, and look in the background, it's Jerusalem. Ah! So we see the kids are a blessing. And you can decide how many of those blessings that you want to have. And I don't believe that there is a quota that you need to reach in order to not be sinning. Having said that, you could be sinning in your decisions. There could be sinful motives. I can't judge those. You need to do that work. You can also engage other Christians to help you see what's going on in your heart. You can weigh all these things, and then you should consider your scenario, your situation, and make a decision. And you can live with that decision then if you have done it faithfully. This brings so much peace to the believer. The word faithfulness, do things faithfully unto the Lord. So faithfully make a decision and say, Lord, we are doing our absolute best to honor you in this decision. We ask you to bless it. We want your mind. We want your wisdom. We've done our best to read the Bible, receive godly counsel, consider our preferences, study the issues around circumstances. We've done our best. So Lord, here's what we've concluded. May you be pleased. And let's just say 5 years go by, you can no longer give birth to children, and suddenly your heart aches for one. We blew it. No, you didn't. And you might come to that conclusion if your decision was selfish and sinful. But if you're being faithful in your decision-making, you can rest in that. And now, 5 years later, you aren't going to have kids because the Lord has ordained no more children for you. And you can rest in that because you were faithful and he is sovereign and good. And that combination, you put that together in every realm of life, it will do you much good. I'll even offer this up as a tip. If you've got children who are still in the house, especially if you've got younger ones, get into the practice of this. You're going to do things and you're going to make decisions, and there are going to be some things that you do that you will look back on someday and go, oh, why did I do? Oh, I was so terrible. I wish that I had spent more. Whatever you will have a truckload of regrets in raising your children. Now you're going to take that truck, no matter how full the dumpster is, and you're going to take it into retirement when you're going to have a lot of time to think about those things, and you're going to look back and you will have so much regret if you don't remember faithfulness, sovereignty, and the goodness of God. That is why as you go through the day, Lord, I want to make this decision for you. Lord, I want to interact with my child the way that you would interact with my child. Lord, I want to be your representative. I want to do this faithfully. And as you do that, as you are striving, not just using it as some sort of fortune cookie formula, but you're actually doing that and you're growing in godliness and you're seeking godly wisdom, are you going to sin along the way? Yep, but you can toss those in the deep end of the ocean because they're forgiven. And when you become gray-haired and perhaps filled with all kinds of thoughts about I would have, could have, should have, you can stop and say, no, I was faithful. I was faithful. Was it as good as it could have been? Of course not. But I was faithful, Lord. I offered it up to you. And anything that I did that was sinful, I repent again or I repent for the first time. But you don't have to pistol whip yourself. Faithfulness, and let that drive your day. whether it's parenting, whether it's with your spouse, your relations in the neighborhood, mowing the lawn, whatever you do, Lord, I am doing this for you. That's why we do well to not just have a prayer time in the morning and then we're done. Check. That's good that you do that. But throughout the day, Lord, I'm here. I'm your servant. Help me to do my best. I'm going to mow the lawn for your glory because you would do it excellently, and I want to do it excellently too. And even though your lines might be crooked, when you're done mowing, you can look over and go, okay, there were some crooked lines, but Lord, I was faithful to you. Please accept it as it is. You can rest in that. That's another key word, by the way. Rest. Rest. Just trust that he's got it, that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and that he doesn't want to pile guilt and shame on you. He died to remove that from you. And you can rest in that. It doesn't give you license to sin or to be lazy, but it'll keep you from having coals on your head and miserable. So be faithful, Christian. Be faithful. That's all you're asked to do. Just be faithful, which is going to keep you from being sinful. But be faithful. And even when you sin, then repent of those things. Know that there's a no fishing sign over those sins and rest. And when you arrive at the time, when you look back, you can say, Lord, my whole life was offered up to you as an act of worship. Hope you were pleased with it. This is Wretched Radio.
All right, folks, get ready. Grab yourself a comfortable chair, a box of tissues, and get ready to go on a bit of a roller coaster ride, because that's what's going to happen if you pick up Safely Home by Randy Alcorn, a book that's been making even the toughest men cry like babies who drop their ice cream. Safely Home will challenge your faith, it will question your comfort, and it will make you reconsider how you view the lost. It is a straight-up sucker punch with hard-hitting questions like, are you ready to suffer for your faith? Are you ready to die for it? Yeah, it's that intense. And don't take my word for it. You can actually read a sample right now in the Wretched store at wretched.org. And remember, when you purchase the book, tissues are not included, but they are heavily recommended. Seriously, stock up. Grab your copy right now of Safely Home by Randy Alcorn at wretched.org and get ready to have your faith strengthened like never before. Just don't say we didn't warn you. Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. Let me tell you just how this ministry is going to be changing lives later this year. With your help, meet Dr. John Krotz, one of the new powerful voices who will soon be joining this ministry later in the year. Dr. Krotz is a pastor at Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia. He holds a doctorate of ministry from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and Dr. Krotz has also authored several books, including Graciousness, Tempering Truth with Love, and of course, Loving the Church. His work focuses on theology and pastoral care, helping believers grow in their faith and their love for the church, and your support can help bring more voices like Dr. Krotz to the forefront. Just join our $250,000 match campaign, which is happening right now. You can visit wretched.org/fellows to see how you can partner with us, and together we can transform lives with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical. Teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
Attributes of God. God is a person. He is not a detached, impersonal force. He is a conscious, self-aware being with a mind and a will. He has made himself known through scripture, and most of all, he wants you to know him personally. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Case in point, Freddy, the best miniature schnauzer ever. This is Wretched Radio. My first dog, Freddy. Man, he was a great pooch. We were thick, and he was so obedient. And he just, he was one of those dogs, I know, looking at me, nevertheless. So maybe he wasn't very bright, but he would look at me like, what do you want me to do, Dad? Are you happy with me, Dad? Where are we going now, Dad? I'm going with you, right? That was my first dog. And so when Freddie, I think at about the age of 11, the vet said he has diabetes. Oh boy. Okay. So then we did the shots and the injections. And back then it was so hard to know how he was doing. And then his health started to devolve. And then he had that cyst. And so, you know, we were dealing with the end of life decision with your dog that is like miserable. And in the moment and going through the process of making the decision, at what point do we say it's time for our last drive to the vet before getting in the car with my beloved dog? I could say to the Lord, Lord, I'm trying to do this right. I'm trying to be faithful. I'm trying to be wise with my kids that are going to witness this. I'm going to try to be wise with the money that you allow us to steward, whether we should keep pursuing this or not. I'm trying to be wise about the role confusion that can often take place between human and animal. I love my dog, but it's a dog, and I want to keep this dog around, but I also think the dog is kind of miserable, and now we got the issue with bladder control. Lord, this is the decision that I've made. Please be pleased with it. And I remembered that. I marked that in my mind. And we took Freddie to the vet, and it was horrible. I don't even like to rewind that tape in my brain. I hated it. Because that dog looked at me, man. Whew. And that'll haunt you. And that'll torture you. But it won't if you were faithful. You can rest in it. Even when you biff it, you can rest in it. Even when it fell short, you can rest in it. Strive for faithfulness. That's the best you can do. Offer things up to the Lord. Consult with Him, His Word, and His people. Make your best decision. Do the activity the best way that you can. And even if it turns out to be a stinkeroo or a bad decision or an even awful experience, you can remember, Lord, at that moment, I was doing my best for you. And I'm telling you, it'll keep you from having regrets, even though I still miss my best pooch friend ever, Freddy the dog. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
So I feel like you just answered the question that I was going to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway. This is from Tatum. Todd, I've been struggling with intense burnout at work. I dread going in every day. What's the biblical way of dealing with something like this? I know I shouldn't grumble, and I know God has placed me at this job, but the struggle is real.
Yeah, it is. Look, in those situations, we love sovereignty. Well, that's where you are. That's where God has you. So be ye content. Well, that's all true. But we need to understand still there's a human struggle involved. It isn't fun to be doing something you don't find very fulfilling. So you need to strive. You need to work out your salvation. You need to be reminded as you go about your daily tasks, Lord, you have me here. I'm going to do this unto you. But that isn't the end of the advice that any Christian should offer another. What's the desire of your heart? You know, God is pleased to fulfill that desire so you can stay at your job, do it unto the Lord, going home at night saying, Lord, that was an act of worship unto you. I hope that you were pleased with it. And then go about the business of finding another job where you feel more fulfilled. And if you get one, you praise the Lord. And if you don't get one, you praise the Lord. Because He's orchestrating the details of your life. And He's got you there for a reason. There could be more, but one of the reasons you could be stuck in a job that you find unfulfilling is because He wants you specifically to find your fulfillment in Him. That's one reason. Maybe it's because you're not ready to handle that next job. Maybe whatever the pay increase might be, that would not be good for you. There's a thousand reasons that God does what he does. And you need to know that he's not just sovereign, he's also good. And he's got you there because he wants you there. That is your ministry. Where you are planted, Christian, that is your ministry. This might be helpful for you, especially because I do believe that Gen Zers have been bombarded by a message that says, if you're in a job that isn't fulfilling, just quit, or a quiet quit. No, that's not how a Christian works. You work unto the Lord. Your business card should not say, biostatistician, Christian. That's what I am. Oh, and I work in a, well, wherever biostatisticians work. In a lab with a calculator, whatever it is that you're statisticking in biology, do it unto the Lord. That's who you are. And rest in that. You can rest in that. And you could also pour out your heart to the Lord. Lord, you know, it's hard for me, Lord. Please give me the strength. Please teach me what it is that you want me to learn. Help me to get it and help me to grasp it. Help me to have a good attitude. And Lord, would you help me to find a new gig? There's nothing wrong with those simultaneous emotions. Idea@wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text that came in from David.
Did I lose you?
Yeah, you did. I thought I turned my mic on, but I turned it off.
Ah.
So I already had it on.
So earlier this week, you missed your post.
Oh, man. You know, that still bothers me. I listened back to that.
Oh, no.
I listened back to that like three times.
And you, how come you didn't catch? Because you've been out of the business for a bit.
But usually I can listen.
I know.
And hear
but you're just, you got better at it in time. At hitting the post, and right, you were not as good at the beginning as you were at the end.
But when you're doing it every single day,
you get really good at it.
For sure, yeah.
So don't feel bad, Jimmy.
Thank you, Todd.
877-282-2337.
All right, so this is from David. He texted in from earlier this week, a show that he was wondering, was that really Phyllis Diller or was it AI?
No, that was Phyllis Diller. Yeah, that was... I'm pretty certain I've shared this before. I was working with Phyllis Diller. This was a bit ago. And I asked her, I was starting to do radio. I think it was secular radio at the time. And I asked her to record some liners, and she did. And then we went out to dinner, and she had like seven martinis. It was like, wow, lady, could she put them back? And then here's what sticks in my brain. And I suspect if I've shared this story before, you're going to go, yeah, I remember. Well, she's knocking back her seventh martini. She's regaling me with stories of what a horrific drunk Frank Sinatra was. Whoa.
Q93.5, that was Bonnie Raitt. It was something to talk about. And Roxette on before that with The Look. Hey, what's going on, West Tennessee?
Yeah.
Handsome Jimmy back along with you. And I'm back to wrap up this 9 o'clock hour, as well as my day today. Hey, we've had a great time, and we've heard a lot of great music. I hope you'll join me again next Sunday morning, straight up 7 o'clock.
You know what when I hear that, you know what I think?
What's that?
Thank you, Lord, for all that experience you gave Jimmy. Because you are vital here. I'm not kidding.
That guy right there couldn't hit a post. That was the first time.
So you've regressed in some regards. But nevertheless, we're grateful for what you bring to the party here.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, I am trying to work hard at school for the glory of the Lord, but I keep failing to reach the best grades.
Mm.
What should I do as a young Christian?
I'm just thinking. I'm doing a little shuffling through the Bible to remember the verse that talks about the grade point average that God demands from his children in order to be pleasing to him. Wait a second, can't find it. You're supposed to do your best. If that's a 2.0, praise God, that's your best. You offer it. Look, we got a theme going on here. You offer it up to him. And now, if you could get a 4.0, but you're being lazy, then you shouldn't rest in a 2 or 3.0. You should put your skills to work and labor unto the Lord. Apply yourself, gaining even more knowledge, because God is knowledge itself, and you do it unto the Lord. It's about faithfulness. It's about doing things for him. And by the way, I got to tell you something. You could have a 4.1. I think some people get that. They like get all the extra credit and all that jazz. You are summa cum laude. That doesn't impress the Lord. He's not like, whoa, that dude is an amazing student. I guess I'm going to let my benevolent smile shine upon him because, whoa, it's a 4.1. Now, would he be pleased with a 4.1? Yes. And you say, you just contradicted yourself. No, I didn't. You do your 4.1 unto yourself, he's not knocked out. You do a 4.1 unto him, he's well pleased with that. You're capable of getting a 2.0 and you got a 2.1 because you were doing it unto him. He's not impressed that it's a 2.1. He's pleased. Now, he's fully pleased because you're in Christ, but he's pleased because of your faithfulness. Let that drive you. Just, you do your best unto the Lord and you rest in that. And so when you're given your diploma and it says satis, S-A-T-I-S, like some of ours did, which is Latin for satisfactory, if you've done it unto the Lord, you can rest in being satisfactory. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.